session number 1107, row 4.
Mr. J.F. Bell, Reel 4. You were at Peking, Mr. Bell. Where did you go to from there?
We went back to farm with the battalion to Tinsin. And the other companies over there relieved us, you see. We changed over. I finished then with the PAC at the job. Didn't need us. I'd been there about a month when the chase is back in the cookhouse. But anyway, to... Tinsin. We used to do a lot of guards of honours. Every time, it was an international place, say like a Japanese changed over with somebody in command, he had to go to the British consul and, hand his papers in, sort of style. So every time they did that, the guard of honour. Well, A Company, we were doing that, see? I used to get one about every fortnight. I think the buggers used to change over, And then the next thing of any importance... Our platoon commander died. Lieutenant Luard. His father was colonel of the regiment at the time. As far as we know, he died of pneumonia, as far as we know.
Now, how old was he?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. He wouldn't be very old. He was only a lieutenant. I don't know how long he'd been with the battalion, you see. We're going to the 2nd Battalion. That. But anyway, he died. We're given the full military honours. And, of course, half the chinks were outside, though, lapping it up. Full band and everything. And he died, our platoon commander. And... the next thing that happened to me, anyway.
Outside of VD, were there any other diseases which were prevalent at the time amongst the troops?
No. And there was no, not prevalent, no dysentery. Maybe get a touch, but, he had something he shouldn't have done. But really speaking, no.
You're pretty fit a lot.
Oh, yeah, very seldom. VD was the biggest disease. See, and then... Well, on about the death, there was a corporal shot himself. He thought he had the BD, so he committed suicide, but he didn't have it. And we lost a lad from Stockton down at Shanghai Quan, which I'll come on to later. He was shot by a Tao policeman, which was a pro-Japanese policeman. Whether he'd been down trying to pick a woman up or something like that, I don't know, he said, well, we went there. And then... he's had to go down to, I'll tell you about the guard. In the prison there, in the civvy prison, there was, we used to call him the general. 1, 2, 3, 4 chinks. And they were political prisoners. The Japs wanted them. And we wouldn't give them. So there was 4 of them. Now, he went on guard there, and when we went on guard, they used to get every paper that was published. They could talk to the warders. We didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Well, the youngest one, the student, we used to call him, he'd be a bloke in maybe about 20, well, I presume being in the early 20s. And that was on guard this day, and looked at what the hell's he doing? In the corner of the yard, against the wall, and he had a pair of parallel bars. But they were about 6 foot high. I thought, what the hell's he doing? And the crafty bugger fell off, scraped his arm, brought him in, put a bit of iodine on, where he goes back again. And we had 5 rounds in our magazines. And next thing I saw, whoop, we ran on top of the bars and over the bloody wall before we take the safe catches off. Of course, rules were done, but we couldn't find them outside.
So these people were in the civilian prison, which must have been in the British zone.
Right? Oh, yes, it was in our... Tinsin was only a place about the size of... a little village. The only doings, there was nothing really there. Any entertainment there was in our end. If the Yanks went in and they don't, they used to come into us, and the high ties. But anyway, we got the high ties barred out. I think it happened at the football match. We weren't there then. I see that a football league. Well, instead of putting a battalion team in, they put company teams in. Eh? Evidently, as far as I can make out, HQ was playing the high ties. And I don't know whether you've heard of Butter Edwards. He used to take the parades up there. He finished up RSM. He was in the signals then. Evidently, this high tie took a kick at him. And of course, he laid him flat. But after that, when they played the high ties, you will have one officer, one WO sergeant, and two privates. That's the only people allowed to go to the match. Eh? So.
The rest were barred. The rest of the
crowd
were barred.
Oh, yeah. And they barred them from the British concession for about 6 weeks, I think. Well, we barred them, yeah. I always remember the first night I came in. I was up, we were up out, and wearing this plan, and when the old bloke said, I don't look like the look of them bastards, I think I'll go and fill them in. I said, oh, leave the poor buggers alone, man. It's the first night out for them. Ah, you poor them. Couldn't stand the high tide. I don't know why. And the froggies couldn't. Tinson, the best. Oh, I forgot. Oh, no, I was going to tell you about Peking. Oh, I've got to go back to Peking now. we get there anyway, I'm telling you. And there was a Yankee college just outside. Came in. They wanted a football match, a hockey match, and a basketball match. Well, there's only, 50 or 60 of us. So anyway, we played them football and basketball, we had to play. Well, I don't know, the army game, more like the women's game, you know. So we goes up, me and five more, right, we'll go. We get in this bloody college. And one of our, right, have you seen in there, you know, the Yankee style, a bloody up in the gods and all this, you know. Look, what the hell's this? We're here, we might as well go in, so we go in. They got to say, of course, they're playing the Yankee basketball. We had no bloody clue. The Yankee referee or whatever they'll call it stopped it. Have you blokes ever played this game? No. And what annoyed us, the five of us, right, time out, and they would send another three players on. Us silly buggers still have the same. They still have the same when we finished. But anyway, all the spectators buggered off.
from Tientsin, you then moved to where?
Shanai Kwan, which is the rifle ranges. It's where the Great Wall of China runs into the sea. So he gets down there, and the first time I'd ever seen it, Monkey Nut Fields. Well, like everybody else, think the Monkey Nuts grew fine. I was going to bring another bloke in, Minto, Long Jarre. But anyway, I'll tell him what it is. Gets down there, starts firing our course and all the rest of it. And 5 o'clock in the morning, somebody wakes us up. This would be the 4th of September, you see. No time difference. Was being declared.
This would be about 1939. Of course, yes, 1939. Yeah.
This was about 5 o'clock in the morning. The signal block came right. Was declared. Eh? Was declared.
Had you had any inclination, any news from home that war was imminent?
No, just the news of what you read in the papers and things like that, like everybody said, it won't happen. And of course, where we were, you see, the only thing when it did happen, we sweated out with the Japs. If the Japs had come in, we'd have it. Eh? There's only our company down there, we couldn't get back to barracks. Somebody will have told you about the floods in Tinsin. We couldn't get back on account of the Tinsin being flooded. Eh?
And was there any threat that the Japanese might have come in at that time?
No, not really, but still you didn't know, you see what I mean? In hindsight, somebody said you were all right. There was a couple of destroyers out there waiting to pick you up. If the Japs had come in. I said, well, it would only be us. The battalion wouldn't have gone down. But the place was flooded. And, and of course, you were the next morning. Get on with the story, anyway. The first thing they said to us, feared it as all, you know, not that war had been declared. Now, in future, if you were on a 252 or a charge, it would be prefaced with whilst on active service. And I looked at them. I said, you boogers that think you're going home are not going home, which was me and one or two more. We actually signed all our papers. See, my 7 year was up in the November, eh? And signed all the papers to come home, go on a training course and all this. And he just laughed like this, Brown. I looked and, I thought to myself, oh, well. The draft that was relieving us was in Hong Kong. So if they declared war about another 3 or 4 weeks after, I'd have been away.
They just caught again.
So, well, fate. I mean, if I'd come home with the secretary, I'd have been in Biddy Dunkirk and all the rest of it, you know. Eh? So, anyway, we're going back to Tinsin, all packed up. And I think where the battalion left, the one he sent a company in, eh? His legation guard, you see. And I presume they would have, what they call it, these diplomatic doings where they say, right, well, you get so long to get out, haven't you? Or supposed to have. Eh? And we went to Hong Kong. And we were up in Kowloon, but we were in tents. We were about 200 yards from the Japs. And then, what's happening? Nobody seemed to know. Then all of a sudden, right, you're off. That would be, we had Christmas and New Year there. That's 39.
Right? January 40.
We left about the 6th of January, I think, on the Talman, which was an old B&I boat converted. And we went to Egypt.
What was that journey like on a boat like that? Well,
we just really made the best of it, that's all. I mean, we just, an old boat stripped out with a few hooks and eyes put in for hammocks and things like that, you see. And it wasn't, you know, actually we went escorted with the Eagle, the aircraft carrier that got sunk, and a couple of destroyers. See? And they took us up to Egypt. We got off at Port Suez, what the hell did we go to first? Get the name of the damn camp now. But anyway, I was only there a night, I was cool then. They said, right, in the morning, down to Kantara. That's on the canal, it's where the Palestine Railway came to the canal, they got the ferry across and then got the train on the other side, the ones. And, well, we mounted the guard on there, but I was cool, we didn't, you know. And we were there when the Aussies landed. From, I think, with the Empress of Britain. They came alongside in the canal and they landed and they sent them up to Palestine. But we happened not much there. You could buy a bag of Jaffa oranges for a shilling. You know, the blokes bring them down on the train.
And were you there long before you moved up into the desert?
No, we were there about 2 or 3 months, and then we went to Port Said. The whole battalion was in Port Said then. When the ITI declared war, was Port Said. So if you're interested, we were in China when war was declared, we were in Egypt when the ITI declared war, and we were in Tobruk when the bloody Yanks declared war, the Japs declared war. But we were at Port Said, and when the, I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks after the ITI declared war, we went up the desert to Mirza.
And you were cooking at this time?
Yeah.
Mm. Had you had any promotion up to now?
No. Something I never bothered with. I never really interested in promotion.
Were you cooking for the battalion?
Oh, yeah. No, Kantara. There was only platoon there, you see, so I don't know why, but I always seem to get on them jobs where you're on your own and, you know, maybe about 20 or 30 blokes. So when he went, you know, like I say, in India he did, and when he went to China, they had, like, company cooking, you see. But we went up, I think it was about a few weeks after the ITI declared, went to Mersey Metro, I don't remember. getting the cook off there, which was a Merseymere True, was a regular army base. So we're in the cookhouse on the first bloody air raid. I dived under a bloody oven. And then they dispersed us. Oh, they dispersed us all over Merseymere. So, you know. And we did nothing really bad. Oh, the first casualty I can remember, we put minefields in. Well, there was a bit of an aerodrome down on the bottom. And there was a lad from Billingham, a lance corporal in the REs. Well, old blokes were digging the hole, putting the mine in, and he was putting the charges in, you see. So this morning, he gets up in the truck to pick the bag of, box of detonators up. The bloody thing blew up. Picked him up and scraped him up and put him in the bag. Killed another one of our blokes and injured about five. And they were like the first casualties, you see.
So in Merseymere True, you were basically, the battalion was digging defences?
Yeah,
but
more or less.
You were still in the cookhouse?
Oh, no, without with them. You went with your company, you see. All I had was a big hole in the ground, and you had like a bloody big blower lamp, which you filled with petrol, pumped it up, just like it was a blower lamp. You had stands, so the heat went underneath and boiled. It was all stew and things like that, you see. You know what I mean? Making tea and stuff like that. I mean.
So it's like a portable cookhouse?
Yeah, yeah.
And can you describe it again? You had the...
You had like a... I'm forgetting the name of them now, but more like a big blow lamp. You know, a fairly decent-sized one. And then you had little iron stands, which you put the blow lamp underneath, right, so the heat went along. And, you know, if this one boiled, you put that at the other end, you know, you kept changing them around. Really. We're nearly all done ones, you know.
And what food were you cooking for them, out in the field in this way?
Oh, whatever you could get. Majority of it was tin stuff, you know, like bully. Well, not bully, no, bully. So when you went up, you took emergency rations with you, which was a tin of bully and two packets of biscuits. You used to get your meat, but you had to wash it. Well, you couldn't wash it because you had the bloody water. Eh? We used to get a water bottle of water a day, and that was your lot.
So how did you get the water for the cooking?
Oh, they used to bring water up, you see. Bring them up, you see, bring water up in, you know, in cans, jelly cans and that, like, you know. But the main thing was that, yeah, I'm putting my mind back now. You've got meat and you made, all you did was make stews. You couldn't do nothing, I'd say. There were no ovens or nothing, no bloody thing like that. There's invariably stew every day. Some days it would be a bit of beef, mutton, or whatever it was. Eh?
Had you at any time at this time, did you have any idea of what the officers were eating? Were they on a similar diet?
That I couldn't tell you. The only thing I can tell you is this. When Wavers started this push, which we knew nothing about, they formed a composite company out of the battalion. So many from each company. And they went up with Ardine, with Colonel. And as far as what the lads told me, see, they got up to Matilla, I think they called it, Fort Matilla. And lined up for a bit of grub on the night. And when the officers turned around to him and said, excuse me, sir, where's the mess? And Ardine said, there's the mess, and you'll wait till every man's been fed before you get yours. But apart from that, no, they got the same as our blokes, as far as I know, right? I mean, I couldn't go to a mess, that in a mess. Had a HQ still down in Mersey, you know.
What was Mersey like? Can you describe it?
It was a one-horse town, put it that way, you know. It was a real head. That was the main thing about it. And there was a little bit of a harbour there where smaller ships could get in. And actually, we didn't see much of it because we were on the outskirts up on a hill. You know? And other companies were all scattered round. And as far as that, you see, the thing was nobody knew anything and nobody told you anything. The only thing we knew, there was us and the Coldstream Guards. And the only reason we knew the Coast Stream Guards were there because our blokes were, you know, alongside of them. And they, you know, passed the word around, see? And who else was there? I couldn't tell you. I've heard stories, like, but, you know. And then the area started getting a bit rough. Well, after this Lance Corporal got killed with the bomb, I don't know what had happened. They blamed the detonators. Well, there were detonators. And they blamed the Gippos for it. So they stopped it till they got some the detonators from England or wherever they'd got them from, you know. And in the meantime, we were getting, what, 4 or 5 air raids a day and a couple on a night just to keep us happy, like. And I always remember the Brigadier came round. He said, what are you boys doing? No, putting a minefield in over there, sir. Oh, he said, that's not very nice, is it? With all these air raids going on. I'll send you some aircraft protection up. 3 bloody gladiators. They no sooner left than there was a bloody air raid. The best one I had was, they decided to send us down on the beach for a bath. So many at a time, you know. Give you a bar of salt water soap. Like bloody pumice doing. So anyway, the lads get down, all right, the first day, our champion. You know, I'm getting in the sea and I'm a wash. The next day, come over a machine gun the bloody beach. I'd stop that. Well, the bloke was telling me, I wasn't there. He said, you should have been. I said, what the hell happened, like? He said, every bugger dive in this bloody slit trench. And one bloke said, get me ass off me bloody face, look at your car. All naked, about 15 in a slit trench. Stop that.
How were you living out in the
Mersey Trail? We were all in dugouts. You know, like the First World War, we had trenches, you know, slit trenches, a dugout for to sleep in. And the worst thing up there was fleas. The bloody, all over the bloody place. And in fact, at the end, they dished out a tin, with like, and I'm sure it was dried creosote. You're supposed to rub on the sleeves, you know, the rims of your sleeves, you see, and things like that, you know. But, so while we're there, we got, I forget how many there was now, I think it was 30 or 40 Rhodesians. And what they said was, you see, these Rhodesians were in the war, but they reckoned they couldn't reinforce them. So they split them among the British Army. I think we got about 30. And they were playing hell. Because as soon as they came to us, they put them on our rate of pay. Which their rate of pay was about twice as much. So I said, well, it's all right, we'll bank it for you like the rest. But, bugger. Well, there wasn't a little Jew boy, I laughed. He'd gone out in the desert for a bloody shite. Took his, you know. Then there was an air raid. He come back, he couldn't speak. He said, what the hell's the matter with you? So we went over and had a look where he'd been on the side. There was a dude bob about 5 yards up. So no wonder he couldn't speak. And then a bloody, the bomb disposal bloke come up with a motorbike, just strapped it on the motorbike and rode away with it. But this poor bugger, he had to go right up.
How did you work with, what was the situation regarding latrines and hygiene?
Oh, I just went and dug a hole and had it and covered it up. You know, that's all you could do, if you could find a soft spot.
What was the desert like
in that area? It was all a layer of sand, you know, maybe about that much sand and bloody rock, you know. Took some digging, you know, we went down once to dig some positions for a mob coming up. I don't know whether it was the Serries or somebody. And we gets down there and pretty hard labour. I always remember this because they had a bloody big air raid on. And when one bugger sat on top of the tent saying, oh, there's 5. There's another 5, that's 10. Another 5, oh, that's 15, 20. And I think he got the 50. And the voice from the back shouted, shoot your fucking mouth. Trembling. He brought a little big bomb at me. And this bloke had got up to about 50. I think it finished up with about 90 of the buggers over. But they weren't bombing up. They were bombing, trying to hit the railway, you see, on the railway station. See?
These would be Italian bombers.
Oh, yeah. Three engine bloody things. And of course, our Air Force, non-existent. I wasn't there myself, but I'll tell you another little story which made us laugh. Was a lad from Bishop Auckland, only a young man, had gone down to the railway station to unload these ammunition trains. Eh? Well, what they'd done, they'd got in, started to unload these 25-pounder shells or wherever they were, and the bloke had backed his wagon right up to the door of the railway thing. Bloody air raid, poop, we couldn't get out. Everybody else had died into a slit trench, and then poop was laid in back and full of ammunition, screaming his head out. But they didn't get out to let him out. Of course, there's a tap, like nothing happened, you see, otherwise you couldn't talk about it, could you?
Did you have any kind of training other than just digging and preparing defences?
No, there was no training. I mean, we were supposed to be trained as it was, you see. Was that so? All we were trained for was 1914 stuff.
You weren't given any kind of desert training or preparation in any kind for action?
We just went up and that was it. I don't know the Mercer. Well, anyway, you know, a little bit of... had a leave from there, which is something... been abroad, what? What, 6 or 7, nearly 7 years? The first leave I ever had was up the desert.
Where'd you go to?
I went to Alex. And we went in the transit camp. And our gear in. He said, well, you can either stop in the barracks or you can go out and get a hotel. When we looked round, it was our company commander from the 2nd Battalion in India. He was over the moon. You know, there were about 4 of us. He looked. He was over the moon, you know, seeing his regiment again. You see, this was it. As soon as he seen us,
And was he in command?
Padgett, they called him. And whether he's in relation to the racehorse people or not, I don't know.
And how long was your leave?
Oh, 5 days. 5 days now. Well, day to get there, day to get back, you see. At the finish, the next one I went on, from there, I went to Cairo. Well, at that time, you see, they knocked the high ties out. The Red Caps were stopping every train and in, searching them for arms. Bloody Aussies were taking revolvers and Christ knows what down to Cairo and Alex and flogged them to the Gypsies. But anyway, that's where we...
So what happened at Merzimetru prior to you moving farther up the desert?
Nothing really, you know, apart from air raids and things like that. But nothing, you know. Actually speaking, it was bored stiff half the time.
This composite company that had gone to do some work with the Wavell push, did it come back to you at Merza? Did it rejoin?
No, it went up with the Aussies. And they went to when the Aussies were taken to Brook. They went up and were supposed to be putting Bangalore torpedoes in. I lost my mate there. And our company commander got killed there. We lost about 4 there.
Who was your company commander this time?
Johnson, they called him. He was killed there. As far as I can make out, they'd hit a tripwire. You know, set the bloody alarms off and, you know. But, you know, it's as far as I can make out, you know. So... And then what was left came back. Then we went up to Sidi Barani. I don't know where the hell we were supposed to be going. When we went to Sidi Barani, we had Christmas there.
This would be 1940.
I always remember my service abroad by me by Christmases. 39 Doolally, 36 Bombay, 37 Shanghai, 38 Peking, 39 Hong Kong, 40 Barani, and 41 Alex.
What did you do at
Sidi Barani? Well, we buggered about a bit, you know, and then we decided to... We went from there along the top of the escarpment, about halfway to Siloam, where the high tides had been building the road. And there was a little white house there. We used to call it the halfway house. And we stopped there for 3 or 4 weeks. While we were there, I told you about the bottle of water. The ration truck got lost. It was adrift 5 days. We were down to the last tin of bully and the last couple of biscuits. When he came up, he brought 5 days' bloody rations with him. Half of it was rotten. Eh? And
we hadn't been in any actions at this time.
No, we never fired a bloody shot. Eh? Actually, no, we'd never fired a shot. No, I mean, actually, the bombers, you couldn't use ordinary Bren guns or anything on them because they were too bloody high, a waste of time. Eh? No, we'd never, as a whole, the battalion never fired a shot. Apart from these Compasside Company that went up there, you know. They did when they went into Fort Matilda. But we had never seen any action, you know, like as a battalion. Eh? And then we came back. Yeah, we came back. And we finished up on the canal doing invasion training.